The tefillin placed on the head is public, it is seen by all, whereas the one on the arm may have straps visible, but the tefillin itself is near the torso, the heart. The former, on the head, represents, for the rabbis, a public declaration of Jewishness and faith. The latter, it would seem, reflects the private, the personal, the emotional aspects of faith. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 7, Tefillin of Logic and Love. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
Let us discuss several stories about tefillin, the phylacteries of faith. One morning in the 1980s, the novelist Hermann Woke got up in his hotel room in Krakow, and, as he did every weekday, he placed upon himself the tefillin, Jewish phylacteries, and engaged in Jewish prayers. This may have seemed an unusual act for most well-known American writers, but Woke, unusually, was a traditional Jew who had made the rituals of his ancestors central to his own identity and life. After his prayers were concluded, Woke left his hotel and began to explore Krakow. He came upon a small museum in which he found a pair of tefillin on display with the following description appended. "These are tefillin which used to be worn by Jews while they prayed." As Woke later told Alan Dershowitz, he was profoundly struck by the scene because, of course, he had just placed tefillin while he prayed. As I wrote in commentary, this moment, this experience, was rightly understood, a symbol of Woke's own religious journey. He had experienced Judaism as a young man. He had learned Talmud and been profoundly impacted by his grandfather, a rabbi. As a young adult, his observance had waned, but then, incredibly, he embraced it once more precisely when joining the Navy to prepare to fight against the Nazis. As he later expressed, once the war came, the faith of his ancestors became profoundly important once again. In other words, Woke's own observance was seen by him as a sign of Jewish eternity and a tie that bound him to his past. We bear this in mind as we turn to another tefillin tale. It was on Erev Pesach, the day before the Passover holiday, 1944, that a Hungarian Jew by the name of Eliyahu Herman arrived at the Mauthausen concentration camp. Debbie Shapiro, in an article, tells us that, quote, "Before entering Mauthausen, Eliyahu hid his precious tefillin by carefully tying them to his leg. At the selection, someone whispered to him to lie about his age and profession. Eliyahu, a 15-year-old yeshiva student, told the camp commandant that he was a 28-year-old tailor. I was sent to the right, to life, while the other boys, my age, were sent to the left, to death. When sent to the shower," Debbie Shapiro continues, "Eliyahu miraculously managed to hide his tefillin under a rock. That was the last time I was ever separated from my tefillin. I kept them with me throughout the war and afterwards. Today, I take them with me wherever I go." He pointed to the small velvet bag lying on the counter. "Dressed in nothing more than thin pajamas, we slept that night in the snow. It was our mattress, our blanket, and our food. Back home, a maid would polish my shoes. Now I had no shoes. Not far from us were what appeared to be five small huts. When I woke up, I was horrified to discover they were really five enormous piles of frozen corpses." And Herman further tells Debbie Shapiro, "The first morning in that hell, I donned my tefillin and begged God to take me. I could not stand the suffering. But although I was no better than the others, God wanted me to remain alive." End quote. It is a striking scene, poignant and painful. A Jew donning this resonant ritual symbol of Jewish life and asking for death. But he nevertheless remains alive. And in the midst of a scene where death surrounds him, he experiences the very tie that binds him to God and his people that the tefillin embody in more ways than one. Let us briefly explain why this is so. The obligations of tefillin appear in four passages in the Torah, all of which are written on parchment and placed within the tefillin themselves. The commandments appear twice in Exodus 13 and twice again in Deuteronomy in the first two paragraphs of the Shema. The first mention is Exodus 13:9, "And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt." According to Jewish tradition, these verses express not one mitzvah but two, but are called the tefillin shel yad, the tefillin placed on the arm, and the tefillin shel rosh, the tefillin placed on the head. The two are different in construction and composition, but for now, we must note the difference in simple symbolism. The tefillin placed on the head is public, it is seen by all, whereas the one on the arm may have straps visible, but the tefillin itself is near the torso, the heart. The former, on the head, represents, for the rabbis, a public declaration of Jewishness and faith. The latter, it would seem, reflects the private, the personal, the emotional aspects of faith. In a similar sense, my grandfather, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, explained that the tefillin placed on the head symbolizes what he called the logic of the mind, religion expressed through human reason, whereas the tefillin on the arm expresses something more existential and emotional, what he called the logic of the heart. So here we have Eliyahu Herman, disallowed from public expression of Judaism, still reflecting in private his love, donning these sacred objects, showing that his personal bond to God and his people remains. And in a moment where the evil that is occurring to him and his fellow Jews defies religious explanation from the logic of the mind, where he cannot explain why the Almighty, whom he believes rules this world, is allowing this evil to occur. Nevertheless, Eliyahu Herman reflects the fact that in his heart he is bound to God forever, that his belief, his faith, is unaffected. Thus, Debbie Shapiro further reports that, quote, Eliyahu remained alive and continued to don his tefillin and recite a quick prayer each morning before setting out to work. He had to be careful. If the Nazis were to discover him with the tefillin, he would be immediately shot. End quote. And in the article, Herman further says to her, twice a day at roll call, the SS soldiers would surround us and check us with their dogs. Although these dogs were always stopped to smell my leg, the one where the tefillin were tied, the Nazis never discovered my tefillin. I can only describe it as a miracle. There is no other explanation. End quote. A man ties his tefillin not to his arm, but to his leg in order to hide them, preserve them, thereby tying himself to his people. Herman was ultimately taken to another hellish site, Gunskirchen, which he says was even worse than Mauthausen. And Debbie Shapiro tells us in the article that Herman, at the moment of liberation, when he had heard that the fleeing Nazis were about to kill them, he chose to escape, saying in the article, quote, we somehow found the strength, don't ask me how, to break the door open and escape that death-filled room. Of course, I had my tefillin with me. Once we were in the forest, we threw off our lice-infested prison pajamas and put on SS uniforms that we had removed from dead soldiers. Suddenly, we heard the sound of a car traveling. When we saw it was an American Jeep, we emerged from our hiding place and stood at the side of the road. Three soldiers jumped out of the Jeep, their guns trained on us, and requested that we show them our documents. Documents? We didn't even have clothes, let alone documents. I didn't have documents, so I showed the soldiers my tefillin. At first, they thought it was a hand grenade, but then one of them recognized they were tefillin. He asked me, Du bist Ayid? Are you Jewish? I started crying and said, you are the Mashiach. The soldier ordered me to recite a Jewish prayer. I said, Shema. He immediately embraced me and started kissing me. When I told him that the two German soldiers standing next to me were also Jews, he hugged and kissed them too. End quote. Strikingly, as I mentioned briefly in Bible 365, the soldier who asked him if he was Jewish was a man whom I have previously discussed, Meyer Birnbaum, an American Jew who served in the Third Army, and then took time after the liberation to minister to survivors, allowing them to use his own tefillin, with many Jews finding in them the tie that bound them to their past and future. Eliyahu Herman made it to Israel, now carrying, as he told Debbie Shapiro, his tefillin with him everywhere. No longer needing to hide his holy objects, his public expression of faith reflects the openness of the tefillin shel rosh, the tefillin of the head. And there are those whose public expressions of faith are even more far-reaching in the nature of their publicity. After writing bestsellers, such as The Cain Mutiny, Woke wrote a book about his faith, and he concludes the book by writing that if Hitler sought to destroy the Jewish people, it was because, quote, through all history, the strange persistence of the Jews had been taken as a witness to the presence of God in the universe. If God was dead, there was only one way to prove it, one event that would stamp the fact forever on the hearts of men, the death of all the Jews. It was the logic of lunacy, but it could not have been, in its own terms, more rational, end quote. So Woke describes why the Nazis sought to destroy the Jews. But Woke concludes, in the end, Hitler, quote, did not kill the Jews. If we are God's witnesses, God still lives. And Woke adds, God lives and we are his people, chosen to live by his name and his law until the day when the Lord will be one and his name one, end quote. And thus Woke then finished his book with a verse from the Hebrew Bible that also is the source of the book's title. This is my God and I will praise him, the God of my father and I will exalt him. This is the faith reflected in the tefillin. These are the amulets of belief that bespeak both logic and love. These are the tefillin of past and future. These are the tefillin that not only Jews did wear during prayers, but these are the tefillin that are worn still. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.